Okay, well, first of all, thank you all for humoring me in postponing this item from last week to this week. I think it's important that we have a full complement of the APC members here to hear these very important applications. Before we start, let me welcome you all to the APC meeting. And a reminder that this meeting of the Town of Qualicum Beach Advisory Planning Commission, that due to the current pandemic and pursuant to the March 26, 2020 Ministerial Order number M083, members of the APC may participate in this meeting utilizing electronic or communication facilities, and members of the public will not be allowed to attend this meeting. After this meeting, an audio recording will be made available to the public in lieu of attendance at the live meeting. The recording will be available on the town's website until such time as the application or issue is no longer under consideration by council, at which point the recording will be deleted. The APC makes recommendations to council on matters respecting land use, community planning, or related bylaws and permits as referred by council or the director of planning. The APC is advisory and does not have any direct approval, ownership, or authority over matters that are referred to it. Council may or may not adopt the recommendations made by this commission. The following will be the sequence for each item on the agenda: a short introduction to the application from town staff, presentation by the applicant, questions to the applicant, an APC discussion, followed by motions. And to ensure that the meeting is productive and respectful, we request that the applicants only speak in response to questions. So all, turning to the agenda, I would entertain a motion to adopt the agenda as presented. Someone would like to move that? Petronella, seconded by, I can't see.
Don.
Don, okay. Thank you. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, raise our hands. Opposed, if any, I can't see any. Carried. Approval of the minutes. A motion would be entertained that the commission approves the minutes of the June 3rd, 2020 meeting of the Advisory Planning Commission. Do I see a motion from? I can't see everybody for some reason, so. Oh. I got to remove somebody.
Can you make it?
Okay, so we have, if someone could just say their name. And
Petronella.
Moved by?
Don.
Don. Seconded by?
Mark.
Mark, thank you. Discussion, all those in favor? Hands up.
Aye.
Carried. Is there any business arising from the minutes? Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. The first item and only is the zoning amendment for 634 Rye Road, an application for a five single dwelling at 634 Rye Road. Before we get into it, I'd just like, a bit of a reminder of our procedure. There are two elements to this application. One is land use, the other is a development permit. I would like to deal with both of them independent, so there'd be two motions, and we should discuss the merits of each separately. Again, I'm going to go through a rotation of members so that we're not interrupting or interfering with other people's comments. And today I'm going to start with Mark, followed by Don, followed by Petronella, and then Susan. So we will turn to Luke for an overview.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So this application for 634 Rye Road would amend the zoning for a property that's currently zoned for single family. So it would be going from residential 14 to residential 19. Residential 19 is a higher density residential zone. This proposal was considered by council on February 5th. At that time, it didn't have all the details with it, so it was referred to this commission along with a request for additional information, which has been provided and is in your package. So as you mentioned, there are some discussion points in the memo related to the change in land use for the zoning as well as development permit considerations. So nothing further to add at this time. I hand it back to you and then on to the applicant. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke. Turning it over to the applicant.
Oh, okay. My name's Rob Taylor. I was going to say a little bit, and then I was going to let Peter, the architect and the brains behind all this, to say something. Is it possible to have either the PowerPoint presentation or the agenda brought up on the screen?
Yes.
For Peter to look at?
As that technology.
Sure. Yeah, I can bring it up.
Okay. Either page 11 of our presentation or page 24 of the agenda. Just because it's a nice picture. There you go. Oh, there. Sort of shows everything. Well, a lot of the things.
Robert, I would prefer to go to the site plan.
Sure. Okay. Which page is that? Well, just leave it here for now. And when you want the site plan, when you talk, you can put the site plan up. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, like I said, my name's Rob Taylor. This idea has been going on for a while. It started with 9 units and 8 units and 6 units, and should it be fee simple or strata? And so here it is with 5 dwellings in a strata. And we were trying to, I was trying to aim for something that Qualla can be development for well-off retirees. So I was hoping that we could supply something for people starting out, or less well-off retirees, or young families. So this is our shot at that. There's 5 dwellings. There's 2 floor plans. Hopefully it will have a bit of a sense of a community in there with the green space and everyone's front door facing each other. So it won't be cut off from public view, from the roads or anything, but hopefully it'll, for the people that live there.
A parking.
We decided on separate dwellings instead of units all together because it seemed to fit with the neighborhood better, although that has impacts on how many parking spots you need as far as I understand. But it's also close to town. We want to have electric charging infrastructure in the parking, maybe with solar panels to charge it there. We have in the rainwater plan, it's right on the edge of the Grandin Creek watershed. And the plan is, of course, to keep all the water that falls on the lot in the lot and not running out into the street. So in the middle there, you can see a rain garden. Mm. And on the west side, there's a swale there as well. Right. So ideally all the water stays on the lot with permeable paving as well. I wrote the tree management plan. I'm a member of the ABCFP, the Association of BC Professional Foresters. So since the existing trees were all trees that I was used to dealing with in my profession and having to do with windthrow, which I've taken training in, I felt relatively qualified and authorized to write something up. So hopefully that all makes sense. Does it? The conclusion I came to was like there might be 1 or 2 trees we could keep depending on where the infrastructure is, but in general, opening them up for building, we're running the risk of windthrow on the remaining trees. The deer and the rabbits are using it a lot right now, so they're not going to like this plan, and I feel bad about that. The landscaping, Kara at McDonald Gray came up with that. You can, there's a lot of small fences. The landscaping and the vegetation is pretty plain. It's not really complicated. A lot of native plants, mostly in the bioswale and, or the rain garden in the bioswale, leaving most of the landscaping on the lots up to the people that, that eventually buy the lots. That's really all I've got to say about that. It's going to be environmentally friendly. We're aiming for step four in the building code with this sort of building, which Peter will go into, I'm sure. And that's really all I've got to say. And I'm sure Peter will have something to add to that. So thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Peter?
Yeah, I would like to start with page 14, if you could put that on.
This one?
No, it's the one with the, where you see the whole, it's here rendering. That, this is the last one, the last page, isn't it? One more up, up. That right here, perfect. Okay, this is a rendering, you know, shown from Rye Road. I wanted to talk a little bit about the idea behind it, because there's a precedent in the US for this kind of housing. There's a few in Washington State, and there's a few in Oregon, where they have done these small communities that become almost communal communities. Each home is individually owned, but it is all facing each other, and cars are kept away from the houses. And it's different from, for instance, you know, the Kiwanis village in Qualicum, where each house has a garage, and you drive into the garage and disappear, for that matter. I know that the road in that particular village becomes the communal space, but here it will be the green space that is the communal space. And if you go to the next slide here, this is sort of an explanation from where the project sort of came from. This is something that I've been studying for a long time, and we have done smaller communities like this. And the this is from Washington State. If you come to the next one, the upper picture on the left, the larger picture, which shows families, you know, simply taking that dinner table out in the garden, and everybody can join if they like to. You would have a little, you know, what they call flyers, or to bring your groceries from your car to your house. And if you go to the next slide, this is the sort of the story. You know, you can read it yourself. It's a story about Betty Lou, and it has a lot to do with sort of the older population who grow too old to live in their 3,000 square foot home, and need to find something else, and often they can't. So this will be one way, similar to how a young family simply cannot afford the 3,000 square foot home, and where we in Victoria, for instance, where I live, we built condominiums, you know, there's anywhere from 400 to 1,000 square feet, and it's plenty for families to live in. Here it would be an individual house and have all the amenities of the house, but it is more of a going back to basic, not asking for more than that you really need. It's a little bit of has a lot to do with the situation that we are all in right now, where we should all wish for less and still have a nice life out of it. If you go to the next slide, this shows the that we have seen that again, you know, the two images. If you go to the next one, here is the site plan, and each of these properties are roughly the same size, and all the remaining part of the properties will be common space, including the parking area. And the reason for keeping cars away from the house is not to have the common thing that happens, you know, when you have a garage, is that you disappear into the garage, or that the garage is simply a place to keep all your junk, and then the car is still parked on the street. Here it is a parking that will have charging station, solar panels on top, and there will also be room for kayak and canoes, and each house will have a locker for bikes and other garden tools or whatever they need to put in. And there will be one locker for all the trash and recyclable. The colors that I put up here is to indicate sort of a color scheme for the place. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been ironed out exactly, but that the kind of color scheme that I would be going for.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the next slide.
Lively, it's nice.
It's the side sections that shows the relationship with the houses to each other. The houses more toward to the to the east. They are at a higher elevation than the houses to the south, to the west, parking stalls are sort of sloping down the hill there a little bit. The other section is self-explanatory. If you go to the next slide, this is the one of the house types, and it has a open living area, kitchen, and a bathroom on each floor, the hot water cylinder.
Okay, so that's better down.
Is in behind the washer dryer, and there's two possible bedroom. It could be a home office, or you know, it could be a flex room of any sort, hobby room, whatever you like it. And upstairs, it will be over the living room is open to below, and there will be two bedrooms sharing a bathroom up there. If you go to the next slide, that's the other type where it is a slightly smaller house. Again, the same sort of area of living space, dining, kitchen area, and a bathroom, but there will only be one bathroom in this house and two bedrooms. Upstairs, there will be a flex room that can be, for that matter, could be made into a kids room, or it could be any kind of room, but this would be perfect for somebody who's you know, unable to live in a two-floor home. Everything can happen on one floor. And if you go to the next slide here, this is the parking area that shows the parking stall for six cars. And the reason for six cars is that, you know, first of all, in, you know, this is what we see in our profession, is that the architecture zoning is driven by how many cars you can fit in. It's not driven by how many homes you can create, but always driven by how many cars you can fit. And in this case here, I think these are smaller houses. They don't necessarily require that people have two cars to live there. It's close to town. Most likely they will use a bike instead of a car. And it's a little bit sort of tongue-in-cheek that I put a Jeep there, because I personally wouldn't imagine having a Jeep in a place like that. But it's a reality, and each of the cars will have a place to charge. We all know that electric cars are here to stay, and it's going to be very important for the future. I would also like just to explain a little bit about how we are going to step four. I know that Qualicum has not embraced the STEP code, but they will be forced to do so. And I think it is the right thing to do. We need to prepare for the future. We cannot be complicit in ignoring that something is changing. And each house is going to be built in a factory in components and brought to site. Therefore, the construction time will be greatly reduced. I recently built a home in Oak Bay, and it was delivered at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the framing was completed by noon. It was a two-story, 2,500 square feet home. The whole house was moved into in a 3-week period. That's the kind of construction I like to see. And all the recent houses that I have done has been virtually net zero, meaning that we could theoretically generate all the energy that the house requires. It would not be done with batteries. It will be done with providing BC Hydro with the power that we create, and we take from BC Hydro what we need. And often it comes out as a wash. Obviously, it depends on how you conduct yourself, but the house itself is so well insulated, it is so airtight that it virtually doesn't need more heat than your body. If it is cold, invite some people for dinner. All their body heat will help to heat up the house. You know, it's entirely possible to do it, and it is long overdue that this is being done on a regular basis. And the other thing I want to say about it is that, from my experience, it has been very, very little, if at all, any more expensive than to build the old-fashioned way. in the old-fashioned construction, there is so much waste, there's so much wasted time, and time is money. Yeah, every day that a construction worker is on site costs money. And if you can reduce that time on site, it is beneficial for everybody, including the neighbors, who will not have to put up with all the noisy construction. In this case here, it will be, everything will be constructed off-site, brought to site, assembled, and there will be no waste to deal with, because waste is no longer something that we want to see on a construction site. So everything will be made to suit and fit, and I'll be very happy to, if anybody wants to know more about that, you know, to explain more. The houses will be built by a company called Pacific Homes in just between Victoria and Qualicum Beach. And we have done many houses. We have done houses with them in Mongolia, in Korea, in China, all over the world. And the person who is going to put it together, hopefully, we cross our fingers, is a guy that I have been working with on many occasions, you know, to put these houses together. He's has done it since 1965, and it was part of the team that developed the system. So it will be, hopefully, Robert will be able to get him to do the work. All the foundations will be insulated from, you know, in accordance with step four, and you know, it's completely insulated. And when you create a building, when that is so airtight as we are talking about here, we are talking about, you know, 0.1% or 0.2% of air infiltration in the house, then we need an air exchange system in the house, and it's a heat recovery system that is designed for small units like this, made in Vancouver, and that will provide fresh air, and it will provide all the extraction from kitchen, bathrooms, and everything. The dryer, which is a big culprit problem in most houses, is not connected to outside. It is what it puts the water into the perimeter drain, because it's condensation water, and it can be just put into the perimeter drain. And instead of having it venting out, which is a big problem with dryers, I think I've said everything now. But it's entirely possible to do something like this and do it affordably, and do it quickly. And I hope the people who would live in a place like that would appreciate the fact that they virtually can live there for free after they pay for the house. Okay.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Rob. Before we get into questions and discussion, I just wanted to remark on listening to our audio version. This is the first time I think any of us have been able to hear what we've said and how we've said it. It was interesting. What I did note, though, was that there was a lot of repetition in terms of our comments about likes or dislikes. So what I'd like to suggest that we ensure we do that during the first round, which is questions, that we pose questions or ask for clarification, that we refrain from making comments about our likes or dislikes about the application, and save that for our general discussion. Again, when we're discussing the motion, try not to repeat the comments that you had made earlier, unless they're germane to the position that you're taking on the motion. What I found was over the hour and 48 minutes and some 36 seconds of our meeting, there was an awful lot of duplication and duplication of our comments that really did not go to making an efficient meeting. So with those in mind, I'd like to start, first of all, with the land use. So is there any question? Yes, Petronella.
I'm just wondering if the landscape architect wanted to make any comments since she's part of our meeting.
I'm not sure if Kara is here.
I am here.
She is.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Yeah, sure. I'll be brief. So Peter covered off the site plan for the most part. So the approach we took to the landscape was to use a mix of drought-tolerant, deer-resistant, native and some non-native species with a focus on common areas. The detail for the fencing along Rye Road and Hemlock Street would be a low 3-foot picket fence, which I think is in keeping with the traditional sort of character of Qualicum Beach. The 6-foot fences would be located along the laneway and adjacent to the residential units to the south, where there would be property to property interface. The picket fencing also separates each lot from each other, so and each unit has its own gate that opens up onto a common walkway of gravel that connects from Hemlock Street to Rye Road, as well as the lane and the parking area. The stormwater management facility in the center of the site is, we've turned that into a focal point and garden space with bench seating and decorative paving. The roof leaders, I won't speak for the civil engineer, he's not here, but the idea is that the roof leaders from the units would drain into that rain garden. They would then overflow into the bioswale that runs towards the west. And from there, overflow into a stormwater management facility that would then go into street side swale. Hopefully by then, most of the water will be dealt with. If it's not dealt with, at least it will be clean. We would include absorbent soils and such to ensure that there's as much water retention and infiltration on site as possible. The storage facility itself would be designed by the civil engineer. We've also included an open program community space that could be a picnic table, or it could be a gathering space, for the community, a small play area for children. The roadside swales that exist on Rye Road and Hemlock Street would be redirected around a asphalt pullout parking area on both the Hemlock and Rye Road frontages. And I think that's about it. The on-lot landscape, as we discussed as a team, would be ideally done by the owner of the unit, so that if they wanted to do food gardening or, more ornamental, they would be able to choose what kind of character their landscape would have. And I think that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, well, let's go to the land use. So are there any questions or clarifications to the applicants regarding the change of land use from R14 to R19? And I'll start with Mark.
So I'll limit my questions and keep comments for later. The only question I had around land use was around parking. And Peter, you did comment about the idea around limiting parking spaces. It's close to town, assuming people will look at biking and walking as a primary method of transportation, which I think is enviable. You know, I think that fits well with the town's direction. I am curious. I noticed in the plan or the proposal that the, for guests, there's the one visitor parking and then four lay-by parking spots off Rye and Hemlock. I didn't see that in the overall design. So I'm just curious. And this may be a question for Luke. In the case that, you know, someone that moves in has two cars and perhaps multiple units have two cars, what does that look like from a town perspective if we have cars permanently parked, as lay-by on the side of the street?
Sure. I'll answer that. So you can park anywhere on a street in the town, unless it's marked as no parking. You can park there for up to 48 hours without moving your car. So lay-by parking is not intended to be long-term storage for vehicles, but if they're being used and moved regularly, there's no reason that guests or people can't use the street side parking. You know, that's actually more common in many cities than everybody having their own on-site parking. So it's having a mix is something that the town does accept.
So you'd accept the four spots, but they wouldn't be considered sort of on-site parking, which gets to there's the opportunity to accept cash in lieu of the extra parking spaces. Is that, did I understand it correctly?
Well, essentially this whole proposal is being designed as a multi-family development. Even though the houses are separate, the approach to the site is a multi-family development. Multi-family has a requirement of one stall per residential unit. So it is actually meeting that requirement. It's just that they happen to be separated from each other. And I don't have any reason to think that people that don't share walls have less cars than people that do share walls. So I think it's reasonable to accept that multifamily standard as the parking standard and recognize that shared parking on the roadway, it happens, you know, in single family neighborhoods anyway. Sometimes families have more than the two cars that they can accommodate on their own site.
Thanks. The only other question I have would be around the density of the lot. So it looked like we're about 50% of the max density. So a question to the project team is just, I gather from Robert that you started with nine dwellings and now we're down to five. So I'm curious, right. How did we end up with kind of half the maximum density versus maybe an earlier ambitious target for higher density?
Well, before Peter came on, I was sort of looking at it and like for every dwelling, you need a parking space and it has to fit in with the neighborhood. So probably could have fit nine dwellings in here over, you know, two stories and had nine parking spots as well, but I thought that would stick out like a sore thumb and I wouldn't want to live there. And I'm not in charge of Qualicum Beach's OCP, but that didn't really appeal to me, right? So in the end, we tried to balance out dwellings with some space for the residents and parking and fitting in with what's in the neighborhood. So ended up with five. It was at four for a while. So, but that seemed like too few, right? And the fewer dwellings, the more expensive they kind of have to be to cover fixed costs and stuff like that. So five seemed to be the sweet spot for all the different variables. Peter might have.
No, I agree with you. I wouldn't like to highly densify the lots here. All the lots in the neighborhood, if you go to go around the corner to see what was built there, is sort of similar type of density. They are all larger homes, but I think there's such a great need for homes in the 1,000 square foot range, that it would be a shame to either increase it and lose space and turn the whole thing into hardscape and parking and, you know, driveways and whatever else is required. This way here we can retain a lot of green space, which I find is very important when you live in a place anywhere.
Thank you. Those are that's the extent of my questions for land use.
Thank you, Mark. Don, any questions or clarifications on land use?
No, I have nothing to ask. Actually, Mark did a pretty great job of all those questions.
Great. Thank you. Petronella.
Yeah, I have a question for Luke regarding the R19 zoning in terms of Mark's concern about the low density. The R19, is that the same zoning that was applied to the duplex on the corner of First and I think it's Hemlock? Across from the playing field? Is that the same zoning?
I'll just double check it. I believe so, but I'll look it up. You can go ahead and ask your other question, and if you don't mind, come back to that.
Well, that's essentially my only question, because it seems to me that some of the previous projects that we have agreed with are in this similar density range. So I don't have a problem with this density. I quite prefer it. So I guess that's just my question comment, is that it's probably as dense or perhaps more dense than a couple of the projects that we have at APC looked at previously.
Thank you, Petronella.
So, to the chair, sorry, I do have an answer. Yes, R19 was applied to the duplex on Hemlock. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I remember the time that application was made, I made mention that it could apply to many, many properties within the R14 area that is bounded in that portion of the town. Susan, any question or clarification required on the land use?
No, I think I understand it. The lay of the land and how it's going to be used. And yeah, like,
okay, great.
No questions about it.
Okay. I'm fine. So it would appear that we are all in support of, or there is a general support, I should say, for the changing the land use from an R14 to an R14 designation. Is there any discussion regarding that? And I'll start with Mark.
Is this where we can?
We can, this is where we
express our likes and dislikes.
Not to the development itself, but to the change from R14 to R19. Is there any concerns that you would have, or conditions that you would want to make in that, in supporting or refusing the application?
From a land use perspective, I think it is a fair use of land. I think I agree with Petronella that this looks and appears, and I appreciate Robert and Peter's responses around, you know, why you ended up with this density. So I'm in favor of the density side of things. I think it is compatible with the area. So compatibility with adjacent land uses, that checks the box for me. The effect on neighborhood amenities, I think this is a really neat proposal. It's
kind of now we're getting into the development itself. So I think we want to refrain from that. That's a comment regarding the development itself.
Well, it's listed under land use.
I'm going to call that, Mark. Okay, thank you. Is there anything further?
I will stop there.
Okay, thank you. Don.
No, I like the project.
On the project. Thank you.
The land use is fine.
Neat. Thank you. Petronella.
No further comments.
Thank you. Susan?
No, like
thank
it.
You. And I have none. So I'm going to propose that there be a motion that the EPC supports the land use being changed from R14 to R19. May I have someone make that motion? Don, seconded by? Susan. Don and Susan. Further discussion? Seeing none. Oh, Petronella, do you? No? No. That was just a cough. Okay. Thank you for covering your. So a call to question. All those in favor signify by raising your hand. Opposed, if any, none. Carried. Great. Okay. So now we'll go into the development. The development permit application, which now can bring in questions at this point, questions or clarifications regarding the development application, i.e. the plans for the building, siting, what have you. I will start now with Mark.
No questions.
No questions? Okay. John?
I just was wondering if there was any thought to, because I know one of the issues for the town is sidewalks from not necessarily in the middle, but for on either side of Rye or Hemlock, and if there was any thought given to that.
Gentlemen?
Is that a question for Luke or?
It would be a question for you two.
Oh, okay. I think we were thinking that sidewalks were up to the town, and there was talk of having a an allowance area for the sidewalk, which we were totally willing to accommodate. Mm-hmm. But okay. Right now, we just went with the way the road was. There's no sidewalks there, so I guess that's still in to be discussed with the town. Mm-hmm.
Can I make a comment here as well? Just very briefly, I just want to say that sidewalk usually increase speed of traffic because there is a sense of safety by having sidewalks. By not having sidewalks, you know, you will calm the traffic. And I think as the land lays now, it's going to probably be a long time before sidewalks will be considered the expensive and will change the neighborhood very dramatically. You know, right now it's a very sweet, rural type of neighborhood still within the town's limit. I think it's, I happen to live on a street in Victoria that is the first and oldest street in Victoria. And we only have sidewalk on one side of the street. On the side where we live, there's no sidewalk, and the city wanted to do it, but gave up on it and didn't want to destroy the quaintness of the street. So that my comment.
Thank you, Peter. Petronella, oh, I'm sorry, Susan. No, Petronella, I'm sorry. Petronella, do you have any?
Now, I'm just not clear, Mr. Chair. Can we ask questions or make comments about the development? Is that?
No, I want to ask questions so that you can clarify a point that has not been addressed or that could be addressed by the applicant in terms of making adjustments or changes to the plan to be better conforming to your concept of what this application should be doing for development in the town. So question to clarify or to provide direction, not to debate or to make comment about the application that we see in front of us.
Oh.
I know there's a fine line there, Petronella. And if you go and listen to the audio, you'll see where it goes back and forth, and it really does take a lot of time, which we really don't need to do. Okay, so questions or a clarification request.
Okay, well, I'm afraid to say anything right now.
Well, let's try and we'll see. We'll rule on it.
So a couple of things. It was mentioned that you may or may not have solar panels on the parking structure. Perhaps you could clarify that if you are in fact going to have solar panels. And
from my point of view, like, they would be really nice to have. I haven't really priced that out to see if it's financially viable. I would really like to make it fit though. And it would be to charge the, electric vehicle charge.
Okay. And have you looked at,
you like the idea?
Right.
Yeah.
Have you looked at solar panels for the houses themselves?
Can I comment on
Peter that? Can answer that.
Yeah, because it, obviously the houses will be prepared to put solar panels on them. However, if you look at the site, I don't know if you have visited the site, the south border of the site is heavily treed, which will reduce the ability to collect solar. There is a very fine line, you know, with when solar panels are effective or when they are not. It happened to be that on the parking building, they would be perfect. They would be out of the shadow of any trees that would be on the property.
Okay.
And it would be ideal. The great houses will something that would be possible to come. And I just wanted to say to, you know, on Robert's comment was that when solar panels are installed, they are never installed with batteries. They shouldn't be. I wouldn't, if you live in a town where you have BC Hydro, you should always sell your solar gain back to BC Hydro for a refund.
Okay, thank you. And also, it was mentioned that the saving, you're hoping or thinking that perhaps one or two trees can be saved. And then you do mention in your write-up that there may be an exterior use for those trees. I'm wondering if that has been looked into, but that's not a, it's not a crucial question. It's just sort of an aside. And also the existing house that's on the property, it's mentioned.
Sorry. My granddaughter, we do a daily, if not three or four times a day, FaceTime to keep her out of her parents' way. My apologies.
Anyways, the existing house, in other projects that have come forward, it has said, and you also say in your presentation that the existing house has outlived its useful time. Have you either looked at incorporating the existing house into the project, or if you really feel that you can't keep the existing house, recycling any of the building so that it's not just taken to the landfill? Those are couple of my questions.
Okay. Yes, the exterior use for the trees. Thank you for reminding me of that. That was a pre-COVID idea, and I haven't pursued that further, but I will. So the idea would be those are from a lumber point of view, from a forester's point of view, those are really nice trees. They're tall. They have they're nice and straight. They don't have a lot of knots. They could be used for something really useful. It would be a shame for them to be thrown away or chopped up for firewood or something like that. So exactly what they could be used for, I'm not sure. Maybe something in the town, perhaps. There is the park down by St. Andrews, maybe something there. I don't know. So I haven't looked into that, but I think there's some, it feels like there's good possibilities to do something with those trees besides just chop them down and throw them away for sure. The existing house on the site might be able to recycle parts of it. It's got a lot of rot in the walls and in the foundation. There is the possibility of selling it and having someone take it away. I haven't looked into that yet because I don't really think the house is, it's been there since 1940 something, I think. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's a lot of rot in the foundations and in the lower walls. So
1946.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been there a long time and it's definitely seen many better days, but there are components of the house, like the furnace, for example. Maybe some of the other components that could be recycled, but I don't have high hopes for that, I must say.
Okay. Thank you. That's all my questions that I have.
Thank you, Dr. Nella. Susan.
I guess I'm looking more at the word strata is not used on this. This is a community, and I just wanted to ask how that works when you have multi families and different, there's no lines of ownership. I'm just wondering how something like this gets organized to keep it looking the way we see in the pictures here, as opposed to it just becoming, you know, burdened with different ideas of what that should look like, I guess. And you know, just because I know that things can get run away, but with the strata, there's usually a lot of organization to keep it beautified. How does that work?
Can I
sure
try to answer some of that? Is that you will? There might be something similar to a covenant on a place like that, saying that it has to be maintained in a certain way. And also, when you have five strata units, there will have to be a strata council. To run a place like that, you know, so it doesn't run awry, as you say.
Okay. And then I noticed that in the images that there seems to be, you know, nice large verandas for people to have their private space a little bit in that community. I'm wondering, in your images or drawings, the verandas seem small. Do you know what kind of area that would provide for the tenants?
I would say enough.
Like the actual sizes of like the private space
of the verandas? They are small. They are dimensioned on the plan.
Just on the images at the top, they seem very large.
There's two sizes. The smaller house has a smaller covered porch, which is almost 9 feet by 6 feet, similar to what a larger balcony would be on the house, and. The other one has a porch that is the whole house width. Hold on a second. Yeah, just, I don't know why I can't scroll this thing. The other porch would be something like almost 20, you know, 18 feet by 6 feet. You know, so large enough to be able to sit out there. The whole idea of a project like this is not to isolate people, but mm-hmm. to make them feel that they go into the community and enjoy it. This is the whole premise of it. And when Petronella's question about how you deal with how you deal with the strata, is like the, you know, yeah, you have to have rules about the spider, but if you look at the projects in Washington State, you will see that everybody is very proud of their community that they have built, and that builds value. The houses in Washington State has become unaffordable on resale because they are so popular. People are waiting to get into these communities. Mm-hmm. And they, if people maintain these places and love them and enjoy them, they will keep a very high value. So it, I think that's where you will have the ownership to keep it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. My question is regarding the landscape plan that is, I don't have a page here, but I was wanting to know whether the proposed plantings and vegetation that is indicated on that complies with the comments made or is in keeping with the comments made in the tree and vegetation report about climate change. Who would like to venture an answer there?
I can probably respond to that. Okay. So, yeah, definitely, we definitely chose a species based on drought tolerance, as well as a number of native species that would be appropriate for the site. It is a full-sun site. A lot of our native plants prefer shade. So we've done a mix there. And I think that's probably about all I can say is that they are good for the site, for the application.
So they comply with sort of the theories and thoughts that are going into climate change heading towards 2050, that with the change in drought conditions and the changing of the rain season, that these are going to survive and flourish?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all. Then now let's move into individual. There's no other questions. Are there any other questions that have come from the other questions?
Could I answer the climate change question again?
Sir. Yes, go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
Yeah. Looking at the forest types in 2050 and what we have now, so a lot of the same native plants will still be here. The mixes might be different. So there may be, for example, more arbutus as opposed and less cedar sort of thing. But a lot of the plants will in general remain the same. There'll be a few other additions. So any of the native plants that we have for the site will still be okay for the site in the future.
Thank you for that, Rob. Petronella, you had a question.
Yeah, just in terms of the landscaping. Mm-hmm. So my understanding is looking at the plan that the laneway will be crushed gravel. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's yes. Correct.
Okay. So overall, the site is going to have more water permeable landscaping materials rather than hard pavement and asphalt.
Yeah, the landscape, the walkways that are shown in the plan are all intended to be gravel surfaced, so they will infiltrate. And even to the extent that the little bench node adjacent to the rainwater feature is also permeable paving as well.
Okay. And does this, does the lane, is that, do you own the lane that you're creating? Or is
no.
that on the property? Is that part of lane allowance with the neighbors? So the neighbors are all okay with it?
The lane is public. The lane belongs to the town.
Okay. But the town is okay with it being water permeable. Yes, Luke? Do you know?
Yeah, certainly gravel is an acceptable standard for laneways.
Okay, thank you.
Just to follow up on that, Luke, is the applicant required to finish that portion of the lane adjacent to their property, and then whatever happens on the other side would probably not match up with their efforts?
So, I'm not entirely clear on the question. So do you mean
the laneways in the town have not been maintained by the town in any reasonable form? The requirement for this applicant to rehabilitate the lane to this crushed gravel standard is going to be an improvement over the other two ends of the lane. Is there anything that can be done to ensure that the other two accesses to the lane are equally of equal quality?
Well, there's still details to be worked out in terms of the lane, but I think it would be fair to say it would probably go all the way through. You know, the whole laneway would be developed. But I do want to just speak briefly about the concept of maintenance. So if a laneway is developed to town standards, then the town will maintain it. You know, if someone has just upgraded it to a bare minimum for access to the rear of their property, then the town doesn't maintain those. It's more of a driveway standard. But once a laneway is officially developed to town standards, then the town would be responsible.
But again, to that, this is in the middle of the block. So the access egress from either end at Rye or Hemlock may or may not be developed to town standards, which may impede the ability of the property owners in the middle to access properly. So what can be done to ensure that the access is to a standard reasonable for allowing the users of this development?
So this property is just south of a laneway that runs east-west connecting Rye Road and Hemlock.
Yes.
So the frontage of this property is in the entire width of the laneway. So,
I'm sorry. Okay. I missed that point. Okay, that's fine. That clarifies. Thank you. Okay, I see no further comments to be made. And I will open this up for general discussion where we can provide everyone with our feelings and suggestions, comments. So, Mark.
I'll keep mine brief. I like this proposal a lot. I think it's a breath of fresh air for Qualicum. It's different than what we've seen to date at this committee and I think elsewhere in town. I think it provides an opportunity for a different type of person or group who is looking to buy a property in Qualicum. Young families come to mind. Again, I see that from my perspective a lot. And I think it's very cool just having a communal space on a property like this. So I think a lot of, you know, there's been obviously a lot of consideration and thought that's gone into this proposal from all aspects from the team that's here. So kudos to you. And I think this would be a welcome addition to Qualicum Beach.
Are there any conditions or items that you'd like to specifically identify in the motion?
Nothing comes to mind.
Okay, thank you. Don?
I feel the same way as Mark. I don't want to go on about it, but I think it's well proposed and put together.
Okay, thank you. Petronella?
I think it's fantastic.
Awesome.
I've been waiting for something like this to happen in Qualicum Beach, and here it is. So I think this is a golden opportunity, and I think it is well thought out and a very strong and hopefully a good example for future projects like this in Qualicum Beach.
Thank you. Is there anything that you wanted to condition the approval if we so approve?
None come to mind.
Okay. We'll If you think of something when we get into the discussion of the motion, you can throw it up. Okay. Thank you. Susan.
I agree with everybody. I think this is a fantastic opportunity to see multiple housing with individual dwellings and community-minded building. So, yeah, absolutely. My approval.
Thank you, Susan. I have to concur. This is really visionary. It's outside of the box, but boy, does it ever fit in the box in terms of what the town is looking for and what the OCP has identified. There are some conflicts with the OCP. There's no question about it in terms of the desired density. But when you look at the form and character of this particular development in relation to the adjacent properties, we have small lot residential. We have R19s that are going to come up on corner lots, I'm sure. And I think this is an opportunity for future developers to see what can be done in creating compact, sustainable developments. The pedestrian-friendly issue, I think, can be dealt with a sidewalk assignment, as Rob had mentioned earlier, and I think I would add that into our motion. This certainly is a development that's going to meet the OCP's desire to attract families and a diversity of housing. Certainly, if you tried to increase the density with a multifamily, multi-story multifamily, it would be in competition with the adjacent single family or small lot uses. I think in terms of the tree management study that was provided, it gives good reason as to why those trees have to be removed. And the replacement plan indicates its thought about what the future climate is going to require in ensuring that Qualicum, the town of Qualicum, has the proper vegetation for future. So I think those are my comments. Is there any further discussion? I see none. Then I'm going to propose that the motion would be that the APC supports the land, supports the application for 634 Rye Road. Subject to these conditions, I know the administration asked that a section 219 form and character covenant be requested. So I'd like to add that as a condition, and that the a street assignment for any future sidewalks be incorporated into the proposal. And I think the other would be to ensure that the infrastructure for solar energy, in particular the parking area, be incorporated in the plans. Discussion on those elements of the motion. Mark?
No, that sounds good from my side.
Okay. Don? Nope. Petronella.
Yeah, I just have a question, I guess, for Luke about the sidewalk situation. So what is the stance of the town in terms of you wanting that designation or that allotment?
Sure. So recently, council created a sidewalk reserve account for situations where it wouldn't make sense to put in a sidewalk at the moment, but the town would collect funds towards construction of sidewalks in the future. So that would be an option. This isn't a road where the town would be requiring a sidewalk at this time. You know, certainly planning ahead, you know, there may be provisions in the future, This location in particular, being right across from the community park, could conceivably see a north-south sidewalk at some point, but not anytime soon.
Okay, thank you. So I'm not quite sure that I think that that's necessary to be included in the motion. Yes, my comments to you, Bill.
Yeah, oh, I think in terms of what we've seen in the past, the fact that council has gone forward with this sidewalk reserve fund, that we should ensure that if in fact the town decides to put sidewalks wherever they're going to put them, that there is the ability to have that land available to them. Otherwise, they've got to go through and do all kinds of legal things that may negate the value of a sidewalk.
Okay. I think if the town were to put in a sidewalk at whatever date, as Peter mentioned, it would definitely change the character. So I don't feel so strongly that we need to be putting in sidewalks in Qualicum Beach, but I guess if that's what the fund is going to be for in the far distant future.
We're not putting the sidewalk in. We're allowing the town at some future point to have access to land to do so if they are so inclined at the time.
I understand that. So, okay.
Okay. Susan?
No, I...
Okay. We will have Rebecca please read back to us the proposed motion.
Yes, actually, I need clarification on the last bullet point. Was it ensure green infrastructure?
That's one way, green infrastructure. That's probably the best way. You're very good at wordsmithing things, so yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Just okay. To ensure that the development can incorporate a green infrastructure.
Okay, so I'll give it a try. So that the Advisory Planning Commission supports the application for 634 Rye Road, subject to the following conditions. Section 219 form and character covenant be registered, that a section of the street be designated for future sidewalks, and that this change be reflected in the proposal, and ensure green infrastructure, in particular to the parking area, be incorporated.
Is there a discussion? Mark?
None for me.
Tom? Petronella?
No, I'm fine.
Susan?
None.
Me? None. Then I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Hi, can I call you back?
Oh, Susan, we lost Susan.
Make a motion.
Sorry.
I need the motion. Sorry, yeah. So who's going to move? I'm getting ahead of myself. Mark is making the motion. Seconded by Don. Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, call the question. All those in favor? Opposed of any? None? Carried. Thank you all for a great day. That was fun. And we look forward to seeing this again in a week.
Yeah.
Have a good afternoon, everyone.